Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be where God is. Amen. His Spirit is. His children are. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise be to the Lord. Can you feel that today? I feel liberty. I feel His wonderful Spirit. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. How many's told Him this week, Jesus, I love You. God, I praise You. Do you tell Him that every day? Do you tell Him all through the day at different times, Jesus, I love You. Lord, I praise You. Did you know that could bring a calmness and that could bring a peace when you go through your day and you can take time to say, God, I am thankful that I am saved. I praise You. I worship You. Right now, just lift your hand. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Lord. Oh, You're good. You're good all the time. Oh, praise be to the Lord. All right, I sent out a text about 3 days early. I said, I know that we've got about 3 days to go before Sunday school, but how many looked through the scriptures there?
Yeah.
Read.
Did you read them?
Yeah.
Anybody study them? I know somebody that did. She got notes. She brought notes with her. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else making notes? Clara. Praise be to the Lord. All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to take our time with this, and I want some involvement today as we deal with these words. 2 Corinthians 1 and 1. I originally titled this The God of All Comfort, which we'll get there later, but I titled this lesson today The God of Grace and Mercy. 2 Corinthians 1 and 1. Paul starts off writing to the saints in the church. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at Achaia. What's that next word?
Grace.
Grace be to you and
peace
from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of
mercies,
and the God of all
comfort.
Now notice close, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He comes, His Spirit comforts us in our trials. Why does He do it? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, using the comfort by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Whew. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Consolation, our hope, abounds because of Jesus Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual. Effectual means it's working. The Spirit of God's working. And the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You may be seated. What this is saying, every one of us, we need the Lord.
Yes.
Right.
We need His help. And when I'm going through it, I need Him to comfort me. And how does that comfort come? Can anybody tell me? Through others? Encouragement.
Yes.
Peace. A consolation comes from the Lord in the hearts of His people. So if you see me down and I'm going through it and I need help, I'm discouraged. Devil's got me down. It means everything in the world, children, listen, to have somebody come up to you and shake your hand, a brother hug a brother, a sister hug a sister, and say, I love you. I appreciate you. I
How many knows we need comfort and consolation in this hour? Yes. Praise be to the Lord. I tell you, with you and with the Lord, we can make it. You ever see anybody just had peace about them? They just got a grace and a peace about them? And you feel easy around them? They've got something out there. I feel good being around them. Their mind's on the Lord. The presence of God is in their life. And they're a praying person. You know? Oh, God. I want you to look. Let's look at these five. Grace, peace, mercies, comfort, and consolation. They all, listen now, are attributes of God. They are the spirit of his nature, reaching forth from his great love for mankind. I want us to look close at these words the Holy Ghost gave us through Paul. I want to start with grace and mercy. Can I tell you mercy and grace always goes together?
Yes.
You cannot have one without the other. Where you find one, you will find the other. Grace and mercy. Praise God forever. If you look at it just right, I ain't got this in my notes. The greatest attribute of God, the greatest, is his love.
Oh, yeah.
Out of that love comes grace. Out of that grace comes mercy. Out of that mercy comes compassion. And I'm telling you, that is enough to take every one of us through. Praise God forever. He is the God of grace. How could you ever explain grace? How could you? What kind of definition could you ever put on God's amazing grace? Hallelujah. What's it mean to you? Could anybody in this house tell me what grace means to you? Did it ever come to you? Did God ever send that grace to you?
Oh, yeah.
To touch you?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, we couldn't make it without grace.
Yeah.
Right.
Which means grace is the unmerited love that God has bestowed upon us, which means we didn't deserve it. We could not earn it. Nothing good could we have ever done to deserve God's only Son.
Right.
We were unworthy of the scars in his hands and in his feet.
Yes.
We were lost and undone without God. Listen, alienated and separated far away from him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. I, at one time, was dead inside. We all walked according to the course of this world, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and mind, and that awful spirit of disobedience working in us. We were dirty, corrupt by nature, unworthy to stand in God's holy presence. We could not come near him. But oh, the grace of God.
Yeah.
He came to me when I could not get to him. He came to me. How many could say, Brother Tommy? He came to me. Praise be to the Lord. His love looked beyond our faults and failures.
Yes.
He looked beyond our weaknesses and shame. He saw our lost condition, but he saw our soul's eternal worth. He saw our eternal need. Can you say today, I was that lost sheep that went astray into the thickets of this world? But he came, hallelujah, he came looking for me. Can anyone here today define God's amazing grace? Can you do it?
Unmerited love.
Unmerited
favor.
Love of God. Holy. Money couldn't buy it. Good deeds could not obtain it. No matter how much we could ever get to charity. You know, I've been married, I was talking, coming to church and everything. A lot of people think they're saved. And they go to churches all over the land. And they think they're all right, but they don't have a real, true, born-again experience in their hearts.
Yes. Right.
They say because I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't chew, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I've never killed anybody, I'll be good, I give to charity, I pay my tithes in the church. That won't get you to heaven.
Right.
No, you have a heaven experience.
You have to have His Spirit inside of your heart to change you. Children, I stand here today and I know I have tasted God's amazing grace.
Yes.
Holy, it's real, it's pure, it's keeping me alive. Holy Lord.
Yes.
Anybody could testify of God's amazing grace. Could you ever explain it? No. You have to feel it.
Right. Yes.
You have to taste it. You have to experience it.
That's it.
To know it's really real. When you're on the bottom. How many's ever hit bottom sometimes?
Oh, yes. I was way below the bottom.
I was too. Somebody wrote that song. Way below the bottom. God reached way below the bottom. Got a hold of my hand. Praise God. Listen, when you're at the bottom, on the bottom, it's God's grace that comes to your rescue. When you feel like you can't go another day, and at times another step, it's grace that comes alongside of you and gives you that strength. Who am I that is so unworthy? Like the song says, here am I, so unworthy of the blood. Unworthy of the blood that set me free. Here am I, so unworthy of the blood, but yet it flowed for me. Here am I, so unworthy of the blood. Unworthy of the blood that set me free. Here am I, so unworthy of the blood, but yet it flowed for me. Here am I. I'm born again. I'm saved, washed, cleansed, made whole by the blood of the Lamb. Shoo! You're here today, you're sitting here today because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Somewhere in your life, God came along. He come along to you to get a hold of your attention. Maybe he's in a song, a preacher's message. Somebody coming and witnessing to you, grace came and visited you. Holy Lord, I'm glad that I opened up the door and said, come on in, Lord. Come on in.
Yes.
Oh, what grace for such a sinful creature as I. Can anyone tell me how we are saved? What is it that works on us to open our eyes? Who is it and what is it that can set a drug addict free and an alcoholic free?
Blood.
Jesus and His blood. Who is it that opens prison doors and brings the captives out and make them free? Jesus. And His blood. Who is it that gives you hope when you feel like you're hopeless and puts a new heart on the inside of you? Only Jesus and the crimson flow of blood can give you that freedom and that peace in your soul. Brother Ron, you want to read that? Turn into Ephesians 2 and 8 and read it, verse 8 and verse 9. Ephesians 2. Verse 8 and verse 9.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen now. God's grace is His gift to you.
Yes.
To get you to believe. Hallelujah to God. Grace, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That grace is given to you for you to feel it, your eyes to open up to know that it is really real, and you can feel it. Oh God, and it gives you faith to call on the Lord.
Yes.
Thank God for His grace.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Down at the cross, beneath the blood of God's own Son, there I gave my heart, and my life had first begun. And there the Lamb of God shed His blood on Calvary, and there my burdened soul was eternally set free. Precious is the blood on the cross of crimson red, and from His hands and His feet, from His brow it was shed, and it's flowing over me, and it's rich and real today. It's never lost its power, never changed in any way. I've got the blood on the door of my heart. All of my life is beneath the crimson flow. So when God looks at me, He no more sees the things I've done. He only sees the blood of His crucified Son. This is grace. Praise God. How many's got the blood applied to your heart today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A crimson stream still flows. Can I tell you that? It still washes. It still cleanses. How many in your Christian life is going to go to the Lord? Lord, I just feel like I need another blood bath.
Amen.
Sometimes you feel like you need another cleansing.
Yes.
There's nothing in the world, children, like feeling that cleansing, that pureness of the Spirit of God. When He washes you, He cleanses you. Oh, God. I want to ask each and every one in the house today, have you ever seen and witnessed the grace of God in others?
Oh,
yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
I have. Have you experienced it in your own life? Yep. Oh, the divine attributes of God, both His mercy and His grace to the human race. It reaches to every soul. What does it all mean to you? I know Maria's probably watching this right now. She's not here. But I went up there in the hospital to see her. Mary and I did and everything. She laid in that bed just like an angel, just calm as she could be. She did. It just, on her face, you could see. I'm telling you, when you're around a saint of God like that, you can feel a peace.
Yeah.
You can feel a peace. Not worried. She might have been inside. She didn't let us know. Concerned about her toe.
Yeah.
But there was something in that room. We saw it on Sister Maria's face. It was just like, my hope is in Him.
Right.
God knows where I am, and I'm trusting Him. There was a consolation there. But there was just a confidence there. The Lord's with me.
Right.
Can you raise your little hands? God's with me.
Yes.
God's with me.
Yes.
Man, I feel Him.
Yes.
Holy Lord, I feel Him.
Nice.
God's with me. So you see, no matter what we face, what we go through, whatever comes our direction, I've got something. I've got something. It was with you in the hospital. I saw it. It was with you, sissy. I saw it. No matter what, it'll be with you too. When you have to have things done, you have to have surgeries, if you do have to go to the doctor, whatever, you've got God on your side. How many's glad at that? I've got God on my side. Holy, look where you are today. Look where I am today. I'm here because of God's grace. I'm here because He loved me and He brought me through. Ain't you glad of that? You can feel it. You can taste it. You can see it. When that grace of God is with you, praise the Lord. Oh, God. On a hill called Calvary, I'd like to have a dollar for every time a song has been written and sung about Calvary. Is there hope? Seeing where we are, what we have, how we're saved. Is there hope for the sinner and the backslider?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Will God save and forgive him?
Yes.
Yes. Will He restore him?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to know that no matter how far you have fallen, how deep or how long you've been in sin, and the devil is telling you that God won't forgive and you'll never have peace again, he is a liar. Hey, Lord. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise be to the Lord.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have fallen. There's a lot of people that have backslid on God. They've drifted away from the place they were once in. The devil's always there to pull the skeletons out and remind you of your past and what you've done and how you have failed and how you have messed up. Did you know that God stands ready to forgive and call back and restore the grace and love in your life? But it's these things, these mental images of your failures and your weaknesses, all your wrongs, the feeling of unworthy, I'm no good. You look at others in the house of God, you say, they didn't mess up like I did. They've got a song, they can praise him and they can sing, but who am I? I'm not worthy. I saw somebody here recently and I hugged him. I said, I love you. And I said, Jesus still loves you too. I know. God's got the ability, listen, children, when he forgives, he forgets. Are you listening? Everything. It don't matter, even if you have backslid. God says, if you repent and come back to me, I will receive you and I will restore you. And he casts our sins far behind him. Into the sea of forgetfulness. He said, I'll remember your past no more. So what is it keeps people bound?
Themselves.
Huh?
Themselves.
Right. They can't get beyond self.
Right.
They look at their own unworthiness. Mm-hmm. They look at their own condition, their own failures. But I know somebody, when he forgives and washes in the precious blood of the Lamb, he forgets. Raise your hand. I know God forgets. I've got to forget it. I feel the Lord right here. I've got to forget it. I've got to get over the past. Praise be to the Lord. If Jesus loved me so much and he said that he would forgive me and wash me no matter what I've done, what I've been involved in, the Lord will wash me, cleanse me. He'll take it all away. Praise God.
Yes.
We bind ourselves. We hold ourselves down. When Jesus says, I'll set you free, and you don't have to go back to that. You don't even have to think back to it. I want to ask you today, how far will God's mercy go? I feel a settling down here. How far will mercy, God's mercy, go? How far will his grace reach? I want you to know, you ain't gone too far. Praise be to the Lord. The Bible said it's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. How far will it reach? I want you to know that mercy always follows grace, and God's great love is the author of it all. Go with me now. How many wants to go with me up to the top of Calvary? How many wants to go?
Yes.
Right here. Here we go. Luke 23:33. If you want to go ahead and turn there, go ahead and turn. I want your eyes to see these scriptures. The Bible said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, Jesus, and the malefactors, which were two criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The Greek definition, and I ran the history too, for the malefactors, no, means they were both criminals and evildoers, both of them were. Both of these men, according to history, they were known as violent robbers. They just rip you off bad. Mark said they were thieves. Then said Jesus, picture them hanging on the crosses, their crosses there, Jesus in the middle, and the blood is pouring down from their hands and their feet. Then said Jesus, Father, what's that next two words?
Forgive them,
for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, go down to verse 39. And one of the malefactors, one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now notice, Matthew records it in 27th of Matthew, records that both thieves at first reviled and mocked Jesus and railed on him, hurling toward him reproaches. But now, notice, now this one thief has changed his heart. Can I ask you what happened to him? Can anybody in this house tell me what happened to that one thief right there?
He heard
Jesus
praying
for all of them. The Roman soldiers that nailed him there
felt the love of God.
He felt the love of God from that man in the middle. My Lord, holy God.
He felt grace.
Grace showed up at the cross. God's grace showed up. Can I tell you, it wasn't God's will for both of those thieves to go into hell.
Right.
But something. Can I ask you, are you tender enough to pick up on God's grace when you really, really need it? Can you see it? Can you feel it? That one man dying, the blood dripping out of him. What you're made of is in your heart. Did you know you can become so hard in your heart that not even grace can touch you?
Right.
It can't. You mean that man went beyond? Yeah, because Jesus prayed and said, Father, forgive them. What on earth? If we ever come to a place that forgiveness can't touch us, it can't pull on our heart, and the love of God can't do something on the inside of us. But that one thief on the other side of the cross, he looked at the man in the middle. Can you see him, a bloody mess? You mean he's thinking it over. 6 hours on the cross, Jesus hung, bleeding and dying, suffering and agony and pain. And he comes to the point, he looks up and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That thief on that other side looked across Jesus and said, You can rail on him if you want to. He said, But I just felt something from that man in the middle. Is it too late? It's going to be for a lot of people. If you've got a soft heart, if you've got a spark in your heart, it's not too late. Raise your little hand to him. It's not too late. If I can feel that grace. If I know somebody, oh man, I felt him right there. If I know somebody really loves me. If I really, really, really know. And he's a praying for all of those that drove the nails in his hands and his feet. And if he loves them, he'll even love me. Oh God. He said, "Dost thou not fear God?" I'm telling you, if love of God and the fear of God can't draw you to Jesus, then man, you're gone. There was a fear there. Listen, "Dost thou not fear God?" That one thief, that repentant thief, he felt that he needed to do something before he died.
Right.
"Oh God, before my soul leaves my body, I've got to cry to this man in the middle, to Jesus. If I'm going to make it right, they wouldn't know water hole." Listen, he could not go back to his family, to all the people that he had robbed. He could not restore unto them everything that he had taken. But right in the last nick of time, before the breath ever left his body, he said, "I know that if I call on Jesus, this man in the middle, he will forgive me and take me to paradise." Ain't you glad of that? I'm telling you, don't ever wait to a bedside repentance and be ready to die and leave out of this world. Don't wait that long. Call on him now.
Yes.
Oh, God. I know God saves. I know Chester Caperton. Lord, we had our time with that man. 67-year-old, a drunk for many, many, many years, and we was there at his bedside. Come on, Chester, pray. We was getting on our cell phones, and we was playing him gospel songs. We was there when he passed. Now, come on, Chester, pray. And Sister Kathy Caperton, she went over there, and he loved the Perry sisters, and she got on YouTube, and she pulled up the Perry sisters of Chester. Many, many years ago, when he was in church, he loved the Perry sisters. She held that phone over there. He was on oxygen and everything, man. Hooked up an IVs on him. His heart rate was a dropping. It was a going down. She went over there and held that phone up. And Brother Ronnie, me and Brother George, Mary, and Charlie and Kathy was there. And all of a sudden, he went to tapping that foot like this right here. Dying. I'm telling you, his heart rate was a dying, tapping his foot. He raised his hand like this. Perry's sisters was a singing. We watched the tears roll out of the side of his face, his eyes, and roll down his cheeks. I said, "That's it, Chester, praise him." I said, "That's it, son, praise him." He went out of this world with tears, a patting his foot. I'm telling you, how many knows God's grace can reach right to the very end. Hallelujah to God. Woo, wave your hand to the Lord. The grace of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy, sake somebody. Charlie Caperton, he'd worried about Chester for many, many, many years. I mean, he'd go to awfulest drunks and stayed drunk for weeks on end. I'm just telling you. Chester said, Charlie said, "I feel better now about his soul." Was it Chester had that dream that the curtain was way down, there's a door way down? He had a dream. And he, in the dream, he said, the door was way down like this right here. And in the dream, he got down and had to crawl under that door. And the door closed. Charlie said he got in as the door was closing. Oh, Lord, can I tell us, don't wait too late.
Right.
Don't ever tell your family, don't wait too late.
Right.
Move when God, when you feel that grace of God.
They don't have that chance.
That's true. Listen now. That thief admitted. He admitted to the other thief, "We indeed suffer justly." In other words, we're getting what justice has sent us. "For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." He tells the other thief, he said, "We are rightly suffering because of our wrongs. We're dying because of our sins. But this man in the middle, called Jesus, he's innocent." The thief was really telling the other, was finally admitting, "I know that I've lived my life bad." Oh God, I know, and I admit that I've done wrong. while the unbelieving thief on the other side was dying mocking, he looks over at Jesus with what little strength and breath that he had left. And he uttered 9 words. It's amazing. 9 words that completely changed his eternal destiny from dying lost and going to hell to being saved, forgiven, and going to paradise. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. And Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in where?
Paradise.
Jesus, I counted them, Jesus spoke 9 words back to him that were the sweetest words that could have ever been spoken to a dying man, a dying sinner getting ready to leave this world. Oh, God. Hallelujah. What do you think today?
Tommy, I've always heard grace was God giving us what we don't deserve.
Right.
And then mercy is God not giving us what we do.
Oh, yeah, man. Say that again.
Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And mercy is God not giving us what we do.
Can we let it here today? Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, mercy, mercy. Jimmy Swagger many years ago sung a song. Mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast way down, but mercy rewrote my life. I came to him an old dirty letter, a book filled with chapters of corruption and sin and dirtiness. Thank God the blood flowed and it washed and it made me whole. Hallelujah to God. The Lord went through that book and erased every chapter out of it. Every page he made clean. He washed it in the blood of the Lamb. And for 52 years, my book is real thick right now. And it's got a whole lot of chapters. A lot of prayers, a lot of tears, a lot of praise, a lot of worship. Woo! A lot of lessons, a lot of preaching, and testifying. He ain't done with me yet. Raise your little head. He ain't through with my book yet. He's still writing line after line and chapter after chapter. Praise be to the Lord. One of these days, Brother Charles, the book's going to close, and we're going to stand before the Lord and all the deeds that we've done. Hallelujah!
Yes.
How many times you figure that you've sung for the Lord?
I don't know.
Many, many songs?
Many, many, many.
Oh, how about you? A lot of songs.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you witnessed to the lost and preached to them?
A
lot. God's recording it.
He's recording angels every
day. Oh, Lord, have mercy sakes. Every prayer that you pray that comes from your heart, every time you tell him you love him, he writes it in his book. He's not done with your book.
Man, I was a backslider. Thank God I'm not now. Lord God knows me and I know him now. But whenever I got saved, whenever I was saved before, does he still know that or does it?
He knows that you were saved before, but everything that you have done when you backslid is completely erased.
Okay.
Everything. I promise you.
Everything's new.
Everything is new. The past is gone. I'm reinstated. I've been restored. I've been renewed. God's made it all new.
Yeah.
Raise your hand, praise Him. He made it new. He made it new. Holy God,
yeah.
It's all gone.
Praise
the
Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh,
praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Glory to His name. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Oh, come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise
my sins are gone. Hallelujah to the Lord. They're gone. The past is gone. I've been redeemed. Woo! Brand new path now. It's all behind me. It's waters under the bridge. I'm going on with Jesus. Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
Praise God.
My Savior, my Savior. Listen as I get ready to close. One man believed, the other did not. One man prayed, and the other one would not. One thief was saved before he died. He got a hold of God's grace. The other died lost. I want to pause right here and say, if there is the least little inkling in your heart and the feeling deep inside of you to call on God, to want Him, He will hear you. And He will save. When you all read this story, what is it that opened this man's eyes and touched his heart to cause him to pray and ask Jesus to remember him? It was grace from the lips of the Master. Grace on display on that middle cross. When Jesus, listen, uttered the words, "Father, forgive them," there was a love that touched that man's heart and opened his eyes that he needed a Savior and forgiveness. No doubt he thought, if Jesus loved people that much for all of their wrongs, He would die for them, asking God to forgive them, those that crucified Him. Then He must love me too. I want Him to save me. I want to ask you, can and will God save sinners no matter how far they've went and all they've done? Yes. Oh God, is it too late to pray? Will He forgive me, preacher, for a life of wasted years from living in sin? Yes. Grace will find you. Grace will reach to you. It'll save you the moment you believe and call on God. But you got to want it. You've got to want it. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you're unworthy, you're hopeless and no good because you failed too many times. I feel God. Grace is reaching and mercy is a calling to you, precious soul. God's love is greater than all of your sins and your failures. Jesus' blood is still flowing and it's ever cleansing and forgiving. Brother Ron, I've never heard anybody, and I've never read it, never heard anybody talk about this. Get ready to close. But when Lazarus died, we know that in the center of this earth, there was a compartment called paradise. There was a great gulf fixed there, and on the other side of that gulf was the flames of hell. Torment. When Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels, plural, into. When his soul left his body, they carried him down into paradise where the righteous was. The rich man was on the other side of the gulf. Listen close. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Could it have been, Brother Ron, I've never seen it. Could it have been when both of those thieves died, Jesus escorted that repentant thief, forgiving, took him down into paradise. Could it be the other thief? He went on the other side where the rich man was burning in hell. I'm going to tell you that a lot of people's going to wait too late. Could it have been that thief that ridiculed him and would not believe and would not pray? Could it have been he was there close to the rich man? He too looked across that great gulf and saw that repentant thief and said, "Oh God, it's too late. Why did I not believe? Why did I not pray?" Could he have hollered over there? Said, "If I had it to do over," whatever that thief's name was in paradise, "if I had it all to do over before I died, I'd have prayed to Jesus too. I would have asked him to remember me too." Could it have been? "I cannot get to where you are. I let my days of grace run out." Did you know you can let your days of grace run out on you?
Yes.
I don't want to wait too late. I'm telling you, God's grace is abundant. It's a reaching right now, and it is enough to take you through.
Right.
It's enough to save you, cleanse you, wash you. Oh God, if you'll call on the Lord, that blood still flows. Hallelujah to God.